And family owned for over 60 years.
Conditions apply.
Sarah Warmby, fires burning in northern New South Wales have been downgraded from emergency as conditions ease slightly. There are still about 60 fires burning, with fires continuing to be fanned by strong winds. The fire in Bee's Nest is at a watch and act level. The threat to homes have eased, but residents are being urged to stay vigilant. Firefighters continue to battle multiple bushfires across Queensland in dry, windy conditions. More than 60 fires are burning across the state, with Applethorpe in the southeast still a main concern. James Haig from the Queensland Fire and Emergency Services says residents need to continue to stay vigilant.
Because the conditions are so dry across the state, so we expect that fires will continue to start easily and will present a challenge to us. So it's really important, yes, that the public don't relax too much and think that the situation is over. It will be a protracted event, this one.
Meantime, Queensland's Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk has defended her decision to travel to Switzerland to meet with Olympic officials as bushfires burn across the state. Ms Palaszczuk is there to discuss a potential southeast Queensland bid for the 2032 Games. The Premier says the meeting could not be postponed, but is confident Acting Premier Jackie Trad and her Fire and Emergency Services Minister will take control of the situation.
Very comfortable with the amount of briefings that I'm getting, and also too with the extent of what's happening across the state.
Victoria's road toll has jumped to 196 after a man was killed at Hallam. Police believe a car was travelling on Apollo Drive when it struck the rear of a parked truck just after 9:30 last night. The male driver was treated at the scene but died. 59 more people have been killed on the state's roads than for the same period last year. Anyone with information who witnessed the collision or with dash cam vision is urged to contact Crime Stoppers. Also in news, the $150 million public housing debt owed by Tasmania will be waived as demanded by Senator Jackie Lambie in exchange for her vote on the federal government's tax cuts. A mission to locate the pilot and four passengers of a helicopter that is believed to have crashed off the New South Wales coast is set to continue today. And a car has burst into flames on the Mitchell Freeway in northern Perth. Overseas, North Korea is bracing for a destructive storm as the country is struggling with severe food shortages. The BBC's Michael Bristow reports.
Typhoon Lingling has already caused damage in South Korea. Hundreds of flights have been cancelled and tens of thousands of homes left without power. But it could cause far more serious damage in North Korea. Last year's harvest there was the worst in a decade. The storm could now devastate this year's crops, and an impoverished North Korea has little money or means to respond to natural disasters. The North's leader, Kim Jong-un, recognises the danger. He's already berated officials who he said had displayed an easygoing attitude and were unaware of the seriousness of the typhoon.
Briefly, in Hong Kong, police have contained protesters attempting to create traffic stress on the approach to the city's airport. No flights were affected and a heavy police presence remains around the airport precinct. And Russia and Ukraine have completed the transfer of 70 detainees in a landmark exchange. This is Air News. Australia is again on the verge of an Ashes win heading into the final day of the Old Trafford Test, as Graham Davis of Air Sports reports.
Australia requires 8 wickets on the final day to retain the Ashes after coming struck twice in the opening over of England's second innings. It was 2 for 18 at stumps, having been set 383 runs to win after Payne declared at 6 for 186. Smith top scored again with 82, dragging Australia from 4 for 44 as the top order fell to Broad and Archer. All this after England had been dismissed for 301 first time around, with Butler last out for 41 as Hazlewood finished with 4 wickets. Cummins was asked to open the bowling and struck immediately, having Burns caught off a leading edge and then comprehensively bowling Root next ball, with both players failing to score. Graham Davis in Manchester for Air Sports.
Richmond defeated the Brisbane Lions 112-65 in the AFL. GWS star Brett Deledio has been left in tears after suffering a calf injury during his side's 58-point win over the Western Bulldogs. St George Illawarra have scored their final NRL win of the season, defeating the Gold Coast Titans 24-16. In the earlier matches, there were wins for Canterbury and the Warriors. In the rugby, Australia have scored 6 tries to 2 in beating Samoa 34-15. And Ferrari Charles Leclerc has clinched pole position for the Italian Grand Prix, with Australia's Daniel Ricciardo fifth. Australian Independent.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people that would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1800 858 858.
Customers love our coffee, but we just can't keep up with the morning rush. I need more hands on deck.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent $10 billion to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Apply in 10 minutes, get approval in hours, and have the money in your account as fast as the next business day. So for a loan to help you hire more employees, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package, and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at AustralianTurfClub.com.au.
Lazarus.
Lazarus comes hard now. Chicago Bull, he's off the pegs. Bolton's in the inside. Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
Lazarus, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales, where there's a value for money stallion for everyone. Visit yerribee.com.au.
Australia on the verge of retaining the Ashes.
Deliberate that is, and the England captain is gone. First ball.
Consternation in the capital as a young raider loses his head.
What's he doing?
He's got serious issues. That's not what our game's about. That is a disgraceful act.
Redzel set for Everest three-peat.
Redzel, he's clinging on. He's back. Three in a row in the Concord.
And all roads lead to Leichhardt as the top eight comes down to the final day.
And now, overnight scores, expert comment and controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Oh, I hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning, the 8th of September. It is 7 minutes past seven. I'll tell you what, let's look a little introspectively there, Ray. I think we're getting better and better at those intros. What do you think?
Self-praises.
But if we don't praise, it's very rare that we get praise.
That's
so,
good point. Very, very good point.
I'll tell you what a great setup it is for this final spot in the top eight. Well, we think it's the final spot in the top eight. There's actually a mathematical anomaly which suggests that both the Sharks and the Tigers could go through to the semi-final series.
Golden point draw.
90 minutes. Gee. Draw. Both sides go through, and the Broncos, on the back of that loss last night to the Bulldogs, miss out.
Couldn't happen. And the Raiders stumbled as well.
They did, and as a result of that, had an impact on who plays who first week of the semi-finals. We'll get to that very shortly throughout the course of the show. You made mention of Redzel there. Wow, what a performance from the Warrior.
Yeah, he's back, isn't he?
Can he do it? Three out of three.
Who's
for the
to say he can't? And great run, Pirata, flashing down the outside. Running 31.61 his last 600, James. Tremendous return. Graff just didn't get much of a clear run there. Just in behind them for third. All great Everest trials.
We're going to have a chat with Pete Snowden about Redzel. Sam Adout left anyone in no doubt.
No fluke this time.
Just
no
how
fluke.
Good a horse he is. So we'll speak to Bjorn Baker about that one as well. And Libertini, there were question marks about the performance of Libertini overall, though. You'd have to think another strong win for the filly.
Yeah, look, on a day when they weren't running great times because of the wind, she still ran a pretty fast time for 1,200, and she was strong late, wasn't she? But certainly wasn't as visually as impressive as the Silver Shadow, but she's still the filly to beat going forward. Whether she goes to an Everest, we'll find out. We're talking to Jerry Harvey a little bit later on this morning in the show.
There you go. Part owner of Libertini, Jerry Harvey, will be on the program as well. What's your feelings, Raymond? I know there's an incredible photo in today's Sun Herald sports section that just shows Robbie Farah on the outer.
It's a revealing shot, isn't it?
It's an incredible shot. That there was the last training session at Leichhardt Oval. I heard late last night that from a person not on the inside, in fact, my person on the inside there said, I don't know what's going to happen. A person on the outside said, my mail is Farah's not playing. Mm. And the photo today in the Sun Herald would suggest as much. There's Robbie dressed in his civvies, standing away from the group, chatting with Coach Michael Maguire. And there is the group of 17 or 18 players who are getting ready for the game today, all in a huddle. That would be, to me, the most telling sign that Robbie Farah will miss today's game at Leichhardt Oval.
Well, it should be a sad end to a storied career, but...
Hang on, who said it's an end?
Well, I'm just saying if we're reading into this picture what we're trying to read into, but if he doesn't play, it is a sad end. But if he does play, is it a calculated risk?
What if he doesn't play? It's not a sad end. What
if the Tigers win? Yeah, okay.
They go through to the next round. Then
he could play.
You'd think if he was very close this week, he's going to play next week.
Who wins today?
Well, that's a very tough question, right?
No, seriously.
I think the Tigers
at home?
I think the Tigers.
Okay.
On the back of 18,000 fans there at Leichhardt, on the back of the form that they've displayed over the last couple of weeks, Sharks, I would say that the Sharks are far more talented, but they haven't shown a consistency of performance this year.
Exactly. It's a fascinating game.
It's going to be a huge game. We've got the results. What about the bloodbath that was there on Thursday night? And knock them down, drag them out, clash the Rabbitohs and the Roosters. The Rabbitohs were down 10 points to 2.
Yep.
And the Roosters should have been up 22-2. And yet somehow they dragged themselves back into it. The Seagulls, well, they couldn't go with the Eels on Friday night. Marty Tapau's got some issues.
Actually, Manly got plenty of issues apart from Tapau. Injuries left, right and centre. They're in all sorts. Tapau, is he going to miss the final?
Oh, very. You know, even if he gets it downgraded to a grade 1, he's still going to have 1 week on the sideline. I can't see him doing that. Kane Evans is going to miss first week of the finals as
Sam
well.
Burgess will. Sam Burgess will. Will. Hargraves will.
Absolutely. Storm, they were okay against the Cowboys side that tried all the way to the end. The Raiders, as you mentioned, beaten by the Warriors. And then the Bulldogs, the fast-finishing Bulldogs, against the Broncos side with three hookers in the squad.
Extraordinary. Anthony Seibold after the match press conference saying about attitude, James.
Yeah, you can talk about attitude, and that's been an issue for the Broncos all along, but what about direction? So you just wonder whether they might draft Sean O'Sullivan back into the side as well. We'll take your thoughts. Broncos fans, Queensland fans, get us on 1353-53. And, of course, there's a game of cricket going on, Raymond, which is sort of dominating, well, certainly your life, doesn't it?
Well, here we are. This is a scenario. Last day, Old Trafford.
Okay. Talk me through it. Because we had the other test. We had the test at Headingley 1, didn't
correct.
We? What happened there?
Ben Stone.
That was your fault.
No, it wasn't. You kept blaming me. Some man called Superman got to get out, which we haven't got out yet, by the way. Hasn't bad yet, Ben Stokes. England are 2 for 18.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Cummins, an inspired first over late in the day. Did you see the ball got Joe Root?
I did.
Almost unplayable. Pitched on middle, hit the top of off.
Perfect.
England's first ball, golden duck. England 2 for 18, needing 365 runs to win on the final day.
Right.
Australia need 8 wickets to retain the Ashes. England
right.
365 to keep the series alive. Please, God, just give us 8 wickets.
They'll do it comfortably.
No, don't say that again. You said that last time.
They'll do it comfortably. What we need to do is, and it's remiss of us not to do it earlier, but we need to get what the weather in Manchester is going to do. Okay?
Well, whilst you're doing that, can I just run through these figures?
Okay.
Steve Smith, first test, 144, 142. Second test, 92 after being sconed.
Yes.
Misses the third test. Comes back for the fourth test
here
at Old Trafford. 211 yes. First innings. Second innings, 82. Going for the slog, gets out on the boundary. And Australia were chasing quick runs. 671 runs so far for this Ashes series in 5 innings at an average of 134.2. Forget any other adjective that is Bradman-esque.
Did you hear about his first innings average?
It was
109.
Oh, his whole career.
In his whole career.
It is staggering.
Sunny and 18 degrees tomorrow.
So you get a full day's play.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, there's an interesting stat. Every time that Serena Williams had a meltdown in a US Open final, she won the following year. Now, she had a meltdown last year against Naomi Osaka.
It's in a spot of bother here, James.
Quite famously. Here we are in the semi-final, and Bianca Andreescu has won the first set 6-3 and leads two love in the second 40 set.
40-all on Andreescu's serve. So is the pressure of trying to equal Margaret Court's all-time record of 24 slams haunting Serena again?
Wow, you'd think she's been so dominant up to this point. And as we always say with tennis, it's not like a game of footy where the clock winds down for you. You've got to win it off your racket, and that can be very difficult at times. So let's see whether Bianca Andreescu can do that. Earlier, Rafael Nadal over Matteo Berrettini, very comfortable, 7-6, 6-4, 6-1. So dominant win for Rafael Nadal. You would think that he goes through now and wins his 19th Grand Slam title to take him one short of the legendary Roger Federer.
Exactly. There's a World Cup being played at the moment in basketball, and Australia defeated the Dominican Republic overnight 82-76. That takes them through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup for the first time in 37 years. They need to beat France in tomorrow night to maintain their unbeaten record. And if they beat France, they avoid playing the US of A in the quarterfinal, which then obviously gives us a real chance to medal.
Isn't it
get through to the semis?
Fantastic. And we've done it without a few stars, too, that we thought we were going to be there. And obviously,
have you watched any of it?
I've watched highlights.
Paddy Mills, he is unbelievable.
Joe Ingles is the other guy that's been playing
very
fantastic.
Well. Fantastic. But every time Australia need points or need something, Paddy Mills is a go-to man, and he produces. Either drains a three-pointer or does something to set up one of the big guys like Ingles or Bogut. He's been fantastic.
You know he signed a four-year, $52 million deal.
Well, so I know that's outrageous money, but he's probably worth every cent the way he plays.
Well, the point I'm making is, yes, it's very good money, and yes, there are a few players in the NBA and they've got these massive broadcast deals, but that's a lot of money in anyone's language. You have to be a good player.
He's a star.
To get paid that amount of money.
AFL, haven't mentioned the AFL. The Giants had a win there through to week two of the finals, and they were good against the Bulldogs.
Didn't they blow the candles out on the Bulldogs charge at the late part of the season? The corresponding game in 2016, of course, they lost.
Yes, of course. Now, that scenario is they have to travel to Brisbane, my understanding is, next Saturday night to take on the Lions, who were touched up by the Tigers again at home at the Gabba last night. Over 37,000 fans at the Gabba to watch that Lions-Tigers match, the biggest AFL crowd ever at the Gabba. After, there was over 93,000 at the G on Friday night for Geelong v Collingwood. Collingwood, far too good for the Cats, a minor premiers, who are stumbling again in September, and they have to take on the defending premiers West Coast in a do-or-die game at the G next Friday night.
Can you answer me this?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a... Why is it that they don't have an alternate strip in the AFL?
Well, you're getting confused between Geelong and
Geelong
Collingwood.
Geelong and Collingwood. Did you find it difficult?
A little bit. I think tradition's such a major part of AFL. People love their jumpers. They love their clubs. They want to see them play in their traditional jumpers. A very good point. And when they were playing on Friday night, there was times when it was very difficult to know who was who.
Apparently, Eddie McGuire said there's a handshake agreement that they had with Geelong 19 years ago that was somehow flipped around about who wears the dark shorts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And it was flipped around, and that's what caused the confusion, because it was one of the things coming out of it. But you would think that is something that you just sort out. Okay, what are you guys wearing? What are we wearing? Okay, let's make it easy
sorted
for everyone. For even as a player, as something flashes by and you give the handball, you haven't got much time to think. I think, is that blue or is that black?
Was that Ablett going past
me? Exactly. But anyway, amazing crowds.
Australia had a win against Samoa too in the rugby.
Yeah.
Just getting ready for the World Cup.
Not really convincing. Rugby fans, if you went out to Bankwest Stadium and it was your first time, what were your thoughts?
Well, the good point about that match was David Pocock. Back fit, playing well. He's so important to our chances in the World Cup.
He's giving it away after the World Cup.
He is, but
he's a bit premature.
Probably, but he's got other things in his life he wants to pursue. Played 58 minutes. That was the most important 58 minutes of the year, I think, as far as Wallabies are concerned, because he is pivotal of our chances in Japan.
As far as Michael Checker was concerned.
that too.
So, good win for the Wallabies, albeit not very convincing. But, yeah, what did you think of the new stadium? Fans out there as well. All Blacks just snuck home against Tonga in their test match, Roman. 92 points to 7. There we go. See, this is where he gets
panel operator Hamish. Excited already.
Yeah, yeah. See, now he's a New Zealand fan, of course.
Of course.
No, won't mention the T20 cricket match result. Willie, no, that's all kept buried, but he's all of a sudden an All Blacks fan. Which, Ray, brings us to our talk topic today.
Nice little segue, James.
Yeah, and that is floggings in sport.
You can open the batting if you want.
Convincing wins.
Okay.
All right, Manly fans, send it in. 40 mil. Send it in on the SMS 0419. Manly man, Al, go on, fire away. 0419 767 272. Get us on the open line as well, 1353 53. I thought I'd take you back to a game of cricket, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, well, let's just look for the biggest win of all time in the history of Test cricket. And then I realised it was England over Australia. And then I realised it was in 1938. And then I realised, well, hang on, Sir Donald Bradman would have been playing in that game, and he was. And yet England won by an innings and 579 runs at the Oval.
Lynn Hutton's 364.
Just 364.
Was a world record at the time.
And then you realise that Sir Donald Bradman bowled a couple of overs. He bowled 2.2 overs.
Did he twist his ankle or something?
And then he did not bat first innings.
He twisted his ankle by memory.
Neither did Jack Fingleton. Absent, hurt. Australia were all out 201. Bill Brown top scored with 69. And then second dig follow on. Absent, hurt, DG Bradman. Absent, hurt, Jack Fingleton.
So effectively we're two down.
All out 123.
Hmm.
Stan McCabe opened the bowling in the first innings. I didn't know that about Stan.
Yeah, that's pretty ordinary.
So there you go. That's the most dominant win that I'm
innings
bringing
up. Innings 579 runs.
Correct, by England over Australia.
1953, I think it was. I'm just calling it up. 53.
Yes.
There was a world title fight in South Africa. Our very own Jimmy Carruthers, unbeaten the Tomlin across to take on the then unbeaten world champ Vic Tawil.
Yes.
Jimmy Carruthers threw 147 punches in 137 seconds of the first round all over. Vic Tawil knocked out of the ring. Carruthers wins the world title.
The first round?
137 seconds. Vic Tawil didn't even get to throw a punch. 147 punches in 137 seconds he threw. Absolutely all over him.
Is he an underappreciated champion of Australia?
I think so. He was a tremendous fighter, Jimmy Carruthers.
There you go.
Fighter.
Yeah, not the first one you'd go to, but nice work, Raymond. So there we go. We've got the Wingman Beer and the Winx Book. The Wingman Beer and the Winx Book, and that's for the best nomination today of a dominant victory in the history of sport. Any sport, doesn't matter. The most dominant victory. By the way, you can get us on Twitter as well at Big Sports WEND. Big Sports WEND. Raymond, we're going to take a break. Okay. By the way, we haven't told people we're also going to do the Event Cinemas quiz too. You want a score update on that one?
Is it 19-16?
Yes.
Okay. I'm in front here. Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
Yeah, convincing.
Happy about
yeah,
that.
Am I in front? See, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I have to put up with every Sunday morning. That sort of sneaky competitive. Am I in front? I'm sure he's got that on the fridge at home. Tanya, producer Tanya, confirm or otherwise, Ray has the
not
score
true
to the Event Cinemas quiz
not
on
true
the fridge at home, updated every Sunday morning.
You're a hard man.
23 minutes past 7, time for a break. We'll be back with more.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott have a filly with fabulous looks by Lonro. Champion 3-year-old, Champion Miler, Horse of the Year and Champion Sire with 83 stakes winners. From Mona Leisha, a city-winning 2-year-old, our filly is a half-sister to 4 winners, including Group 3 place Billy the Kid. Join our dynamic Gay and Adrian team in this lovely Lonro filly at $12,925 per share. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse? Running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back, and you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the TAB app or at your local. The Kosciuszko. Tickets on sale now. Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit thekosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wideline Windows and Doors state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wideline Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
Sky Racing Active. It's got all your racing needs.
Can you create racing playlists?
Yes, with race alerts and tips.
Can you stream races you've missed?
Definitely.
And your favourite racing shows?
Yup.
Can you watch races that are yet to run?
That you can't do. For everything else, download Sky Racing Active on your Apple iOS or Android device and get access to a 60-day free trial period.
Sky Racing Active. It's racing the way you want it.
Trial offer ends October 7th, 2019. 18 plus. Eligible customers only. Exclusive Vic and SA Thoroughbreds.
Holbrook's the danger. Holbrook out in the centre of the track, went to Jet Train, went straight past Jet Train and is careering away. Holbrook much too good. Won easily. Photo for the Miners.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. 7:25 on your Sunday morning. Of course, Jimmy, that was the Omen tip of the weekend, wasn't it? We all missed it.
Holbrook winning on the Gold Coast, the incoming coach. I don't know whether he got on or not, but any keen Titan supporters would have been able to back that horse with an eye to the future, Raymond.
Exactly. Our talk topic today, what did you describe it to me? Greatest flogging sport. You think I would have mentioned this one. No name from this text message, but Secretariat dash winning margin. That's all it says. Obviously referring to Secretariat's 31 lengths win in the Belmont Stakes 1973. Still stands as a world record winning Group 1 margin. Still stands as the race record. Can I go on, Jim?
What doesn't what's not included there is the name. So
we
can't actually say who's the winner. So because you could nearly say that's
almost wins.
I mean, it gets your vote. That's pretty comfortable, isn't it? Here's another one. No name on it, but Storm 70, Dragons 10.
First match
after Mundine declared the 1999 Premiership victory lucky. That was at the
those words came back to haunt him.
And that was the time when Nathan Brown took the tap and Lance Thompson was going to hit it up. And he started stumbling, but Brownie threw it to him anyway, hit him on the head.
That's right.
It sort of summed up the night.
Yeah, just a quick one. This is from Jason Morning Boys. Just a heads up for people going to the Panthers game this afternoon.
Are you going, Ray?
Yes. Are you, James?
I am.
Okay. Castlereagh Road will still be closed near Panthers Stadium, causing huge traffic delays. So go in four way.
I know you get your tickets free of charge. Do you get your transfers as well?
Seriously. Tan, can you talk to this bloke in the next ad?
Do you get transfers? Any hire cars?
Seriously.
That you see going to
what Panthers? Happens when you arrive, Safran? Red carpet rolls
no,
out.
No,
do you want
no,
your,
no,
your drinks
no,
and your food
no,
laid out for
no,
you? And
no,
your,
no. Park out the back.
Free beers in the food.
Out the back of the Leagues Club. Have to walk all the way over there.
It's a sneaky go. I'll tell you in an ad break. Where to park?
We always love a sneaky go.
It's much easier for you to get out and away you go.
Okay.
A
bit of local knowledge.
Correct. Hey, racing yesterday. Terrific card at Randwick. A lot of talk going into the Furious Stakes about whether Libertini, if she made a statement, would then be closer to an Everest start.
Yes.
Well, let's listen to Darren Flindell's call. What did he think?
Into the straight now, and Villa Mai tries to slip away. Three now in front from Kiyomichi, but Libertini, she's still on the bridle. Berry just starts to nudge away now at the filly Libertini, and she gives chase now to Villa Mai. Villa Mai being tackled by Libertini. Letterpour goes to third. We're going to race on. Coming back, Villa Mai. Libertini and Villa Mai nose and nose. She's going to win Libertini, but boy, she had to earn it. Libertini just beat Villa Mai on the Furious. Third's a photo between Letterpour and...
So there you go. The T Rose Stakes is the next assignment for Libertini. But let's have a look at the Everest. Santa Ana Lane, still the $5 favourite there. Libertini, $8. We are speaking to Jerry Harvey today. What was the description? 100-1 chance to run in the Everest.
But Anthony Cummings was straight on the front foot when he said that.
He mentioned the time run, which is significant. The time.
That ran yesterday, yeah.
Yes.
Just a tick over 1:09, which was good because the track wasn't very fast yesterday because of the wind, now, which just adds to Red Zell's performance. So, look, talking to people I respect, like Ronnie Duffus, et cetera, they think there's a lot of merit in that win by Libertini. And
right.
she was strong late.
Yes.
And on a track where the leaders were certainly favoured yesterday
yes.
because the track was so hard and the wind was making it difficult up the straight for horses out wide to make ground. There's
merit in the win.
Correct, yeah.
Right.
So, but whether she goes to an Everest now, significant though, isn't it, Jimmy, that she's $8. She's the third best back runner in the race and she hasn't got a slot. It's remarkable, isn't it?
The beauty of this market is if you back Libertini and she doesn't run, she doesn't get a slot, you get your money
correct,
back.
Correct, yeah, exactly. On to the Concord Stakes. It was described as a mini Everest. This was a contest and a half. There's still plenty of fight in Red Zell.
Red Zell leads around the home corner from the unbeaten Queenslander Zoo Style. Nature Strip has to go early. He's travelling so strongly, Nature Strip. He's going after Red Zell at the 300. Red Zell's still being cuddled. Nature Strip's come off the bridle. Red Zell's cruising in the lead. Parada's winding up and Graf getting a lace split. It's Red Zell in front, coming home well. Is Parada the outside? But Red Zell, he's clinging on. He's back and Red Zell makes it 3 in a row in the Concord. Beats Parada and Graf in third position.
Just having a look at those times that you mentioned in your article today, Raymond, not far off the times run by Red Zell in the Concord
correct.
Of 17 and 18. And
correct.
Given the conditions that you spoke about, that's a lot of merit in that run.
Exactly. And Peter Snowden's comment too, we'll talk to Peter shortly, they won't ride him the same way in the Everest either. A little bit more conservative early. He'll probably still be on the pace and leading, but yesterday he was ridden with intent, wasn't he, Jim? Out of the barriers, straight to the front. You know, control the race, make your own luck. And it was too tough.
Very professional, the performance of Red Zell.
I thought
this was an interesting quote. It was good to see him run so well. I felt before the race he didn't have to win, but we wanted to see that intent from him, the good gate speed and the fighting hard at the finish.
Yep. And they got all that. The run of Parada, 31.61 coming home. We've mentioned a couple of times how hard it was to make ground. His run was absolutely outstanding. He's come back in enormous order. Graf and that picture in the Sunday Telegraph on the front page, he's the horse in the middle. Didn't get a lot of galloping room.
Right.
So he was hitting the line nicely late. He's definitely come up well. Nature Strip.
What is the story of Nature Strip?
Yeah, look, I don't know. He's just one of those horses.
I think can't settle.
I think they might just have to let him run. Just let him do his thing. Trying to restrain him, he just doesn't settle, does he? Now, Sunlight's run fifth. Tay McAvoy wasn't disappointed. Said she'll improve with racing. Zoo Styles run sixth of six and ran 57.07, which would win almost every other 1,000-metre race at Randwick.
Just to update you too, we're going to have a meltdown here at Flushing Meadows. 6-3 in the first set to Andreescu. 5-1 she leads.
And she's serving.
Second
and
set.
She's serving for
serving
the,
for the match.
The US Open.
Serving for the match against Serena Williams.
Gee, that Margaret Court record's haunting Serena, isn't it?
Yep.
Wow. On to the Chelmsford Stakes. Samadou, we all thought he fluked the Wink Stakes. Reassess. Listen to them go here.
It's Samadou two in front of Angel and Truth. Now Avilius goes to third, sustaining this long run. He beats off Finch, Harapour, and then came Unforgotten. But Samadou is full of running at the 200 metres. He's two, three, four in front. He's going to do it again, Samadou. Samadou leads all the way into Chelmsford. Goes on to win it from Avilius, Gold Tuesday and Harapour.
All of a sudden, it's a wait for age horse, Samadou. So look at the Tab Epson handicap. That's on the 5th of October. Tiako Shark, we'll get to Tiako Shark's run. $4.50 favourite. Dreamforce, very good win yesterday at $6. Samadou, very good win yesterday, $8 third favourite.
All Epsom trials. Speaking of Dreamforce and Tiako Shark, they clash in the Tramway Stakes. Certainly favoured to leaders, Dreamforce. He was too good. Good run, Tiako Shark.
It's Dreamforce, three quarters to Invincible Gem. Arkademus pulling out, followed by Penske. Then came Eckstein and the Shark looking to work into the clear five off them. Dreamforce has got a good kick. It's Dreamforce, Pauling's clear from Invincible Gem. Eckstein, Tiako Shark working into the clear, but Dreamforce is a mile in front of the Tramway. They can't catch him. And Rovilla lands the big treble today. Dreamforce led all the way. Tiako Shark grabbed second in the last bound there from Eckstein.
So, yeah, we went through that market for the Epson handicap. What do you think, Raymond? Where's the value at that point? Tiako Shark, $4.50. Dreamforce, $6. Samadou, $8. Anyone else in the market? Very Elegant is there
probably
at 11.
Run Cascadian, Jim.
Cascadian?
I want to see him run next start. I think he's right on track for the Epson. Dreamforce was fantastic. They can't knock him. To Moonee Valley, the Fee and Stakes, the winner, gets a win and you're in, ticket to the Cox Plate. Homesman for Lloyd Williams, back in a big way.
And then surprise baby, Mr. Marathon Man, Sikandra, about a long way back. Homesman, best of days, up to Trap for Fools at the 300. Then the chosen one, Mahamadeus from Bo Belmain, Harlem, held up from surprise baby, Kanedna. Homesman kicks into the straight at the 150. A length and a half, best of days, Mahamadeus. But it's Homesman, runner-up last year. It's going to go one better. Homesman is going to bolt it in. 2.5 length seconds of photo. Best of days from Mahamadeus. Then...
there you go, Mystic Journey. Where's Winx in this, Mark? Oh, that's right, she's not in it anymore, is she? The WS Cox Plate. Mystic Journey, 450. Avelius and Liz, how do you pronounce that? Liz Gracieux?
Ah, yes.
$8 equals second favourites, and then Danceteria and Homesman, we just heard, equal fourth favourite at $11.
Speaking of Winx, wasn't that a great quote from Timmy Clark, rider of Semmed out in the Chelmsford? He said, unless Winx had returned, nothing was going to run us down.
He had a big look over the shoulder for Winx too, didn't he?
On Semmed out? Didn't he? Oh, for Winx, yeah, sorry.
Here we go, championship point.
Here
championship point.
Bianca Andreescu.
Oh, can't get it. Mm. Strong forehand from Serena Williams, and she saves match point.
Wow.
We're at Deuce.
She's in trouble. Topic.
Game.
This is from Paul from Huskisson. Yes. Morning, boys. You might remember Ray. I certainly do. The great Might and Power winning the 1998 QE Stakes at Ramick by almost 11 lengths, and he beat a field of Group 1 horses like Juggler and Champagne, etc. He was absolutely rampant at that time, Jim.
Here's another one from Patrice. Morning. Australia beat American Samoa 31-0.
Is it soccer?
Yeah, 31-0. 31-0. That's from Patrice. Good on you, Patrice. Jimmy and Ray just woke up and put the tennis on. Serena down 3-6, 1-4. Are we due for a blow-up from Serena as she faces another final loss when inside of number 24? Yeah. Regards from Tom. Very.
And she's up a break point here. This one from Herb. Every jockey in Australia must be ringing Chris Waller for the cup ride on Finch. You see, it's running the Chelmsford yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, a terrific return.
Who would be the favourite for that one?
It's hard to say. And also the depends on the weight, and the run of Youngstar. Watch the replay of Chelmsford again. Terrific
okay.
run. They're both right on track for the Cups.
All right, there we go. Let's go to callers. 1353 is the open line number. Tommy is on the line. G'day, Tom.
G'day, Jimmy. Terry. Oh, no, it's Ray, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. How are you, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Good brother, yourself, yeah?
It's Sunday.
I know, I'm working.
That's all right.
You're working?
Yeah.
Where are you working at, Tom?
Over at... my son-in-law's factory over at Kingsgrove.
Fair enough.
Best,
just get a bit of money so I can have another bet next week after yesterday.
That's the way. We're all looking at some way to keep the bank going, aren't
we, Tom? Gamble responsibly, Tom.
Hey, Jimmy, before I get to the bunker,
yes.
How many did Smith get in that game last night?
82.
He got 82.
Yeah.
Well, how many did Warner get?
Duck. Yeah, first over.
When's Laurie back?
Not next week, the week after.
I've got to ring him up. We had a little bit, not a bit, but the Friday when he said he was going to back Warner to make 50, and then he changed his mind. He said, no, they'll make 100. So I said, well, if he does, we'll I'll give you a ring and congratulate you. But so far, I'm 3-1.
Yeah, Broad's got his number, Tom. That's
make
for sure
you collect, Tom.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, the bunker last night, did you watch the St. George Titans game?
To be honest, mate, I had it on. I was doing a bit of prep for this show. We're trying to think of which one.
Well, Kristen Taylor took an intercept. The length of the field to score the try.
Yes.
Anyway, they went back to the knock-on. Honest to God, they played it 18 times.
Yes.
I counted it, 18 times.
Yes.
And you it went up as a try. Now, if they played it that many times, they can't say that he touched it. But there's no way in the world you could tell that he touched it anyway. They disallowed the try. But they showed it 18 times.
It was Fasker, wasn't it?
And Tommy, thanks for your call, mate. The other thing about it was 15th versus 16th, and I know you've got to be careful around what you do because where they're placed on the ladder and all that, but for the flow of the game and
just
for the benefit of the spectators, see it once, make a call.
Hard to
confirm, benefit of the doubt to... Now we're getting into dangerous territory, aren't we?
It was disappointing. And that and the obstruction rule, that we discussed this many times over the course of the season, Jim. I know you say it's got to be black and white, but, gee, it leaves a sour taste in your mouth when you watch things. You see great play pulled up. so-called obstruction rule. Penalty, no try.
I'm not sure I've said this has to be black and white, have
you
I?
You have.
Do I?
Many times.
Well, I better stick to that then. 1353 53, the open line number. G'day, Tony.
How you going, guys?
Really
morning,
well,
Tony.
Mate. What do you got for us?
Dominant victory.
Yes.
Probably Canberra Raiders 94 grand final.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as Martin Bell has knocked it on from the kickoff, that was it.
Good point. That was a ball game, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I reckon you were giggling like that as soon as he knocked it on too back in 94, Tony.
Yeah, and the fullback too when he put up the bomb. Remember that one as well? It was in goal.
Scotty Wilson was the fullback in that game.
Yeah.
I think Paul Osborne put Dave Ferner over for the first try, that next set of six.
And then he did it again, like, not long after.
Kenny Nagus. He did Kenny the one-handed pass to Kenny Nagus.
Great play, Kenny Nagus.
Very
good one, Tony.
And then he did nothing after that.
Well, he didn't have to. He set up the first two tries.
The Raiders were home.
I'll tell you who did do something. The aforementioned Laurie Daly scored one of the great grand final tries.
Yeah, what a player.
In that Laurie corner. Daly. In that corner. Good on you, Tone.
Happy
to reminisce with supporters, no doubt about it. Let's go to Con. G'day, Con.
Yeah, mate. G'day, boys. How are you?
Yeah, morning, Con.
Yeah, good morning. Look, I want to ask you about Zoustall. He didn't get the rails, so how do you think he pulled up?
Zoustall, is that who you mean, Con?
Yes, mate.
Yeah. Look, I think two things about that. Red Zill was, they wanted to lead and hold that rail and hold Zoustall out, which is what happened.
Okay.
Zoustall has been beaten 4¾ lengths. Now, he's only been racing listed horses at best in Brisbane, so he was up significantly, obviously, in grade yesterday. He still ran 57.07 for the 1,000, been beaten less than 5 lengths, and he's run last. So, on paper, it looks a poor run, but it wasn't that bad, really, Con.
Yeah, all right. Good on you, Con. Thanks for that. Sack the track manager. Worst I've seen Randwick play. The new Caulfield. That came from Steve. And then we got this one, Raymond. Mm-hmm. My dad and uncles used to take me to Randwick races in the early 60s and taught me all about how horses had to settle back and time their runs out wide to win.
Yep.
What on earth has happened to Randwick where the horse that leads around the home bend wins? It's a disgrace.
Okay.
Tommy Smith and Bart Cummings would be turning in their graves, the critic.
A couple of points on that, because I thought we might get some calls. And I did speak to a few people I respect about this. Ryan Duffsley, a couple other people. Various things. Samadout's race, if you watch it closely, he just ambled across from that wide barrier, eventually crossed and led for the first turn. Then he stacked him up.
Right.
He's a race-fit horse racing against Stayers. He's out-sprinted him, so that's fair enough. Dreamforce is a terrific front-runner. He was just too good for that field. It was difficult to make ground out wide, I concede, but that also was to do with the fact that there was a very strong, blustery wind.
Yes.
The track was drying out. It was very, very hard. We're in drought conditions, so all those things came into play, but race tempo also had a significant part. It was leaderish, but not as dynamite as some other tracks you've seen around the country.
And now for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
The very best of U.S. racing 7 days a week.
Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package, and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at AustralianTurfClub.com.au.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people that would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly flying. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tad, long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Could open up once more if this bounces for George Bridge, which it does, and away he goes, ragging up.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
That was an All Blacks try for our next guest. We'll go to him shortly. Just quickly, Jimmy, Serena has broken back, held her service now 5-3, and she's up love 30 and up love 40 now against Andreescu. She is coming back to make it 5-4. The All Blacks won yesterday. So did this man, Bjorn Baker, a double, including the Chelmsford Stakes. He'd be a happy man this morning. Bjorn, good morning. Well, two things. One, the All Blacks are going great into the World Cup, but more importantly, Sam Adout, no fluke yesterday about that Chelmsford win.
Yeah, morning, Ray and Jimmy. Yeah, well, he really put the doubters in the place. It was a great one.
Yeah, what about the concern from that wide gate? In fact, it didn't seem to have a bit of a... caused no problems for the horse, Bjorn?
It worked out beautifully. I actually thought the wide gate was a good thing rather than a negative, because it meant that he could sort of just come across at his own time, and Tim just kept him out wide and sort of let him stroll. And looking at the race beforehand, I thought he was always going to get a much easier lead than last time. So it sort of worked out that way.
Yeah, and that's what turned out, didn't it? Because Timmy was able to give Sam Adout a nice little rest mid-race and basically sprint from the top of the straight. He's a rock-hard fit horse.
Yeah, he's been super. Whereas last time I thought I'd gone the early prey, I think this time I probably could have gone a lot earlier. He looked to sort of control the race, and he was... you're looking good a long way out, that's for sure.
Well, not often you call a six-year-old gelding an emerging champion, but what about this? The third horse, Sam Adout, this century to win those two races back-to-back, that's the Winx Stakes, or formerly the Warwick Stakes, and the Chelmsford Stakes double. The other two, Winx, 2017, and Lonro in 2002. You're in good company, Bjorn.
Yeah, in pretty good company, too. Yeah, I was going to say. Six-year-old gelding, but you should see me as a basketballer at 41. I'm just finding my feet.
Well, you don't want to replay that backyard incident. Went viral around the world, didn't it?
Yeah, it's the only time I've been famous, unfortunately, for that.
Have you seen it, Jim?
Bjorn, what position do you play in basketball?
Well, I'm not too sure about the position.
Have you seen that?
Rebound. And I try and be as aggressive as I can. It's good. I really enjoy it every Tuesday night. The foot tropics. At least the group side. Very good. Got a lot of upside.
I'll have to tell our listeners, Bjorn was, his kids were on their phones watching their dad, taping their dad as he did a layup into the backyard.
Oh, yes.
And was it one of the girls rolled a ball out and you've slipped on the ball as you've gone?
No, my son did. My son did. And... I've still got a sore back every time I watch
it. Flat on his back
as
well.
Fantastic.
It wasn't a layup, too. It was a dunk, right?
Oh, you're trying for a dunk. That's
sorry,
it. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry. Okay. Hang on.
Sorry, mate.
You've doctored that ring then. You've put it down a couple of pegs.
I know. What do you mean, put it down a couple of pegs? You can't alter it, mate. Your ring's normal height.
Mate, you can wind them down a bit, mate, to put them in the garage.
No, he's winding you up here, Bjorn. Don't worry about that.
Come on.
Bjorn, next start, send it out. Will it be the George Main Stakes in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think so. I'll be honest with you. I haven't really planned forward too much, and sort of week by week, but I think we have to go that way. So I think it's called the Colgate Stakes now. My wife always tells me I need to widen my teeth, so... probably quite fitting.
Yeah, no doubt. Race 3, Miss Invincible, well done. Also got the Quinella as well. Let's tell us a little bit about Miss Invincible and Ballistica.
Well, they went to the races. They've never looked better, the both of them.
Okay.
And I thought just on that alone, they paraded well. They're both actually not dissimilar. They've taken a while to really come to it, and they've been... they're not the most straightforward horses on a day-to-day basis, but they're really thriving at the moment. They look great. It's a credit to my team. They've done a really good job with them. And I thought there wasn't too much between them. As it was probably just the run. Miss Invincible controlled the race, whereas Ballistic was just held up a touch. So that was probably the difference at the finish.
Mm. Yeah, no, terrific. Hey, Bjorn, the stable's flying in the new season. Samadout is in just career best form. I dare say the George Main Stakes will hopefully be his next start. He'll be hard to beat again, and let's hope the winners keep going for you. Thanks for joining us this morning, Bjorn.
Thanks so much, guys. Always great when you ring. Just try and ring me every Sunday, will you?
That means you've had a few winners. Yeah.
You know how that works, buddy.
It's always a positive sign.
We're more than happy to hold up our end of the bargain. We're just waiting on you.
I'm doing my best. But if Samadout keeps saying it like Steve Smith, we're in there with the chart.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well done, mate.
See you.
Thanks,
guys.
Bjorn Baker there. And by the way, we're 5-4 now in this second set. 5-4 on the service of Serena Williams. 30-all. 30-all.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
This is from Tom. He says, Jimmy and Ray, maybe not a blow-up from Serena, but rather a tense-up from the Canadian girl. Yes, Bianca Andreescu up 5-1 second set. Match point. It's now 5-4. Serena Williams about to serve to level it at 5-all. Game on here, James.
Absolutely, and that's what we say about tennis all the time.
And there it is, 5-all.
Andreescu pushes wide down that backhand side, and you have to win it off your racket, and that's easier said than done. By the way, in the crowd, LeBron James, Meghan Markle, and Spike Lee, amongst others.
Wow, Meghan Markle's there.
Yeah, Meghan Markle's there.
5-all, second set, Serena on the way back. Talking about on the way back, Red Zell's great to see him back yesterday. Pete Snowden's on the line to join us, the trainer. Pete, good morning. And that was the Red Zell of old, wasn't it, Pete? Fast out of the barriers, takes the lead, dominates the race. Very, very tough to pass.
Yeah, good morning, Ray, Jimmy. It certainly was, mate. As we said through the week, it was such a tough race. It was a hard race to say you're going to win. But all I wanted to see from him was that intent there yesterday. Just seeing show good gate speed and be good at the end. That's all we needed to see. But he gave us a bat and a bit more yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant run. Great time, too, in difficult conditions. Does the tactics change, or how much do the tactics change, Pete, given it was 1,000 metres compared to the 1,200 of an Everest?
No, look, it's never going to change for him. It, as I said earlier, 1,000-metre race is always his bread and butter. Like, he can't sustain speed for 1,000 metres. Like, he's run 56, 57 a lot of times. So for us, it only matter having fifth and just really letting him run yesterday and showing that gate speed and to get control of the race really in the first feeling. He had it in his hand, so it was up to him just to keep going with it and finish off strong like he did. But it was he is a very, very fast horse, and when he's right, he's a damn hard horse to get past.
Pete, how's he pulled up? And is his next start, is it the shorts or maybe the Premier Stakes for him?
Yeah, look, I just had a talk with Paul on Monday to see what he thinks, but I'm of the opinion we'd probably run back up in a fortnight. That's the plan. We took the very first one he took, very first Everest we ran him in Concord, and then a fortnight later, and then had a month from there with a barrier trial in between before the Everest. I think that's the perfect preparation for this bloke, especially now he's a little bit older. And we look after those joints, and just I think it's definitely the right way to go. So more than likely, runs in the shorts in the fortnight.
We are a long way off where we want to be with this horse. Now it is a matter of getting him fit and screwing him down for the big day. That's a direct quote from you, Pete. Have you got that mapped out all the way to the Everest, exactly what you want day by day?
Yeah, well, it's not day by day, but it's just week by week. And just and having a good handle on how he is and how we like to have him. And more importantly, just having the horse in the right frame that's the other things you could do when he's raced again for the third time, but it's irrelevant to us just having him there in the best shape we can, and just whatever happens on the day, that we'll go along with. But it's, at the moment, I think he's going to plan and touch wood. It's good enough today.
Can you compare 17 to 18 to 19, given the age of the horse, etc.?
Look, I was really, really pleased with his action yesterday.
Okay.
How strong he was and how well he's been in himself. On this prep, he's been walking with purpose. Whereas before, he sort of walked beside you and he's happy to be there. And he's always been in a kind, natured horse, but this prep, he's had a lot of purpose, and he's just like, he probably feels better and freer in his action. He just feels more comfortable, and it's not getting any younger. And this speed racing does take its toll after a while, so it shows you the mental toughness the horse has and how much desire he has just to try and please everyone.
Pete, when you brought him back in after that autumn campaign, when things obviously weren't 100%, was there a moment, or was there a gallop in the morning when you thought, I think we've got this horse back now?
Look, even when his form was poor, we couldn't see nothing in his work. And he was trotting up sound. He was never lame. He was never sore. But just his barriers at race day, he was sort of leaving the gate slow, and he wasn't showing that real blistering speed that he has. And it's just, for me, I thought he maybe was just... it's taken his toll. The hard racing's just been a bit much for him, and I was really talking to the boys, considering not to let him go around just for the sake of it. I wanted people to remember this horse for what he was, and not just be an afterthought and just keep sitting around because he won. But to win again, I was really in their ear. I didn't want to run him anymore. He wasn't going to be very competitive, and that race last study had in Brisbane was a killer for me to see him get beat that day, because it's just a race he just should have won, and he ran well, but just way below where he should have been. And that's why we went just to give him a box, just to go right at it, or just to see if he didn't have any niggling issues. And we found a little bit of arthritis in his front joints and a little bit in his hocks, and nothing significant. And as I said, he never showed us anything in his work that there was a problem, but just doing a bit of work on those things is the horse. And the end results of what we're seeing now.
Yeah, the evidence was certainly there yesterday. He's back, and it sets up for an exciting few weeks into the Everest. Pete, congratulations on Redzel's win yesterday. Great to see the old warrior back, and best of luck going forward into the Everest this spring.
Appreciate it, Ray. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks so much.
Very much.
Thanks,
Pete.
It's an exciting time, isn't it? Can you imagine that?
Who's to say he couldn't do it, Jim?
Back to back, yeah. As Bruce would say. For that Everest, and if we have a look at the Everest market, it is fascinating the way it's playing out, isn't it? And remember,
six horses between $5 and $8, isn't it? Or seven, I think.
Santa Ana Lane at $5, Osborne Bulls, Pierrata, Redzel, $7, Classic Legend, $8, Libertini, $8. And remember, if you're backing a horse that hasn't got a slot yet and that doesn't get a slot, then you get your money back, which is significant. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya, who has scratchings around the country.
Morning, boys. Morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Mudgee and Gundagai, Sunshine Coast in Queensland, and Murray Bridge in South Australia. Starting with Mudgee, the weather is fine. The track are good for the rail true, and there are 25 scratchings. Race 1, take out 10, Snobby Shores, number 10. Race 2, number 3, Greenskeeper, 10, Lady Tavista, and 12, Taldora Miss, 3, 10, and 12. Race 3, number 3, Funky Music, 4, Christo, 5, Titaness, and 9, Narrow Neck Nelson, 3, 4, 5, and 9. To race 4, take out 2, Grosvenor Bridge, 3, Old Man's Angel, and 4, Bullet Storm, 2, 3, and 4. Race 5, number 9, Are You Dreaming? 10, Queens, 11, Razor Drop, and 14, Eagle Works, 9, 10, 11, and 14. Race 6, number 5, Jarrett, 7, Cloak, and 11, Zootenant, 5, 7, and 11. And race 7, take out 1, Barbass, 4, Mr. Hustle, 5, Magic Town, 6, Eskimo Commander, 11, Axis, 14, Byzantium, and 15, Red Raffle. 1, 4, 5, 6, 11, 14, and 15 from race 7 at Mudgee. Gundagai, the weather is fine. The track, a soft 5. The rail, true, and there are 22 scratchings. Race 1, take out 1, Balkan Ruler, 5, Ballybane, 13, Chero, and 14, Green Cash, 1, 5, 13, and 14. Race 2, number 1, Al Cafero, 2, Catapult, 3, Stuttgart, 13, Gypsy Flyer, and 15, Favourite Song, 1, 2, 3, 13, and 15. Race 3, number 2, Casino's Jewels, 3, Costa Chin Chin, 8, Tresador, 9, It's Christmas, 10, My Lady Rhodey, and 14, Unplucked, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10 and 14. Race 4 is clear. Race 5, take out 7, Heaven on Earth and 9, Rocky High, 7 and 9. Race 6, number 12, I'm an Achiever, number 12 from race 6. And race 7, number 1, Flight Commander, 13, Red Medusa, 15, Beau Salil, and 16 Stars Galloway. 1, 13, 15 and 16 from race 7 at Gundagai. And the Sunshine Coast, the weather is fine, the track are good for the rail, true, penetrometer 6.39 and 18 scratchings. Race 1, take out 2, Likeable, number 2. Race 2, number 2, Top Mate, number 2. Race 3, number 3, La Puga, number 3. Out of the 4th, number 1, Chill the Beer. 4, Shooting Love. 5, Reef Bug. 6, Call Miss Sterling. And 8, Primo Agosto. 1, 4, 5, 6 and 8. Race 5, number 1, Boomois. And 5, Memes. 1 and 5. Race 6, number 4, Better Jet. 10, Virginia Dream. And 12, Nobby's Gift. 4, 10 and 12 from race 6. And race 7, number 2, Bill the Conqueror. 4, Grey Skies. 9, Great Keppel, and 11, Charway, also 16, Charlotte's Girl. 2, 4, 9, 11, and 6 from race 7 at the Sunshine Coast. And boys, we have a new US Open Women's Champion.
Imagine that. Bianca Andreescu's just won 6-3, 7-5. Again, Tan, Serena's attempt to equal Margaret Court's record of 24 Grand Slams. It's haunting her, isn't it?
It certainly is. And you could tell her body language, you know, early in that, or midway through that second set. Her shoulders were just down, but... Yeah. You know, being the champion that she is, she managed to rally, but Bianca was obviously on song. Yeah, good on her.
19 years of age from Thornhill, Ontario.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Bianca Andreescu. A
couple of quick winners, tips today, hopefully winners they are.
Oh, hang on, what are these? Here we go.
We need him, Tanner.
Come on, Serena.
Race 1, you're going to collapse under pressure.
Come on.
Race 1 at Mudgee, number 9, Antarctic Ocean. Into race 5, number 2, Miss Hugo Agogo. Liquid odds at about $4, Miss Hugo Agogo. On to Gundagai, race 3, number 4, Gorakan Express. Into race 4, number 1, Bart.
Good on you, Raymond. We will put those up on social media as well. Just repeating, Bianca Andreescu has won her first Grand Slam title. She's defeated Serena Williams, and now she does the customary players climb up into her coach's box to celebrate with Team Andreescu. Congratulations to her. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with Team Zorba.
Sarah Warmby. People in Queensland and New South Wales are being warned the fires will continue for a number of days. Firefighters are expected to remain on the scene of a number of fires in New South Wales for days to come. Conditions have eased slightly and a fire in Bee's Nest has been downgraded to watch and act. Other infernos have been downgraded, but residents are urged to stay vigilant. Rural Fire Service spokesman Anthony Bradstreet says the Bee's Nest and Drake fires are very large.
Bee's Nest fire is over 59,000 hectares in size, so that's going to be a fire that we're going to be working on for days or weeks. With no significant rainfall on the horizon at the moment, that presents a significant challenge.
In Queensland, more than 60 fires continue to burn. In the Gold Coast hinterland, residents being told to prepare to leave as a bushfire continues to burn at Binnaburra, while on the Granite Belt, residents are being told to leave immediately due to the Applethorpe bushfire. Cool, dry and gusty conditions are still expected across much of the state for the next few days. A man will appear in a New South Wales court after being extradited from Queensland charged with murder. Detectives commenced an investigation into the disappearance of William Chaplin, who hasn't been seen in almost a decade. On Thursday, the 25-year-old man was arrested in Townsville. He's been extradited to Sydney and charged with murder. It's World Literacy Day and we're being encouraged to pick up a book. New research shows children from low-income families have fewer than 5 books in their home and don't read regularly. The data from the World Literacy Foundation shows increased screen time is contributing to falling rates of reading. The foundation's CEO, Andrew Kay, says reading is vital to success and opportunities.
The consequences of not reading for the children on a regular basis means that they grow up a lesser use of language, and that has impact on their literacy and the literacy development skills in life.
Also Also in news, a man has been charged with murder after a body was discovered with stab wounds in Melbourne's Inner West. And a driver has been arrested over a hit-and-run incident in a South Australian regional town that left a woman with serious injuries. Overseas, Russia and Ukraine have carried out a long-awaited prisoner swap of 70 prisoners in a step that could thaw a deep freeze in relations between Moscow's annexation of the Crimea region in 2014. The BBC's Jonah Fisher has more.
On the tarmac here in Kiev, parents, mothers, girlfriends and children wept and cheered as their loved ones returned home. Among the 35 Ukrainians were 24 sailors who were captured last year in the Black Sea, and all of the most high-profile civilians who were being held. In return, a plane carrying roughly the same number of detainees that Russia wants headed towards Moscow. Photos taken upon arrival there appear to indicate that among them was a potentially key witness to the shooting down of the passenger plane MH17 in 2014.
And protesters have staged a sit-in on the red carpet of the Venice Film Festival, raising concerns about the damage to the city being done by huge cruise ships. The protesters say the cruise ships are worse than global warming and want them banned from entering the city. This is Air News. Steve Smith and Pat Cummins have put Australia within sight of an Ashes retaining victory at Old Trafford, where England slipped to 2-18 at stumps on day 4 of the fourth test after being set a target of 383. Smith and Cummins, the world's top-ranked batsman and bowler, lived up to their mantle to bust the contest open as Australia stalked a 2-1 series lead. The Broncos have gone down to the Bulldogs 30-14 in the NRL, missing a chance to book their place in the finals. In the other games, the Titans lost to the Dragons 24-16, while the Warriors celebrated a 24-20 win over the Raiders. Richmond have a week off and are just one win away from an AFL Grand Final berth after defeating the Brisbane Lions 112-65. In the other game, the Giants took down the Bulldogs 113-55. Australian Formula 3 driver Alex Pironi has walked away from a terrifying crash at the Italian Grand Prix, in which his car was sent airborne and into a barrier and track fencing. In Formula 1, Daniel Ricciardo secured a fifth position start for tonight's race during a dramatic qualifying session, and Ferrari's Charles Leclerc will start from pole. And Australia have reached the final eight of a Basketball World Cup for the first time in 37 years, thanks to another grinding win defeating the Dominican Republic 82-76. Australian Independent Radio News.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package, and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at australianturfclub.com.au.
Ribchester, the European champion miler 2 years running. Four fabulous Group 1 wins, including the Group 1 Queen Anne at Royal Ascot in record time.
Ribchester and William Buick are the Queen Anne winners.
Ribchester, a son of successful shuttle stallion Ifraj. Record-breaking form at a mile and free of Danehill and Danzig blood. For more information, visit darley.com.au.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
It's Super Weekend online and in-store at Myer. Save 40% off cookware. Exclusions and conditions apply. Hurry in and shop at Myer. Offers end today. In the city, a tow truck is clearing a parked car from the bus lane on Elizabeth Street near Campbell Street. Road closures around Bondi Junction interchange to help buses run smoothly to Bondi for the Festival of the Winds. And in Penrith, Castlereagh Road out for roadworks between the Great Western Highway and Thornton Drive. Taste Shop Play Weekend is on now at Westfield with events, exclusive offers and entertainment. Visit westfield.com.au to find out what's on near you. I'm Tim Govers, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, interstate weather.
around the country now. Sydney today, sunny and windy, 20 degrees. Melbourne, showers increasing, just 14 degrees. Brisbane, beautiful sunny day and 25. Over in Perth, the same, sunny and 25. Adelaide, cool day, 16 with showers. Hobart, evening showers, 15 degrees. Darwin, less humid, morning smoke, but a top of 34 degrees. And the nation's capital, Canberra, late shower too, 14 degrees.
That is Harms partner. Can they get it to Sebo for number three? Jennings. Jennings. Sebo. Hat-trick. 20. 20 tries. I have to go back the other way. This play's been going forever. Canberra fans getting into it. Can their team stop the Warriors? Two of them.
Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Just a repeat of that result over there at the US Open. Congratulations, Bianca Andreescu. Ranked 152 in the world at the start of the year. She's had a stellar season. First time at the US Open, so she has a 7-0 record.
Unbeaten at the US Open.
Unbeaten at the US Open. She's defeated Serena Williams in two sets to claim her first Grand Slam title. She's 19 years of age. Congratulations.
Fantastic.
To her.
Yeah.
And she falls short again. Serena.
It's haunting her, isn't it? Yeah.
In front of what must be described as an adoring crowd over there at the USA. Lots of people wanting to have their say, Raymond, around our talk topic today for biggest floggings, etc. So we get this in too. Morning, Ray, Tanya, and Everywhere Man. Just in case Manly Man Al is still asleep, 2008 Grand Final, Manly 40, Storm nil. I also remember a game where the Broncos beat the Knights 72-6, and the Knights supporters still blame the referee. Cheers, Glenn, the Newcastle Seagull. Well, I can assure you, Glenn, that Manly Man Al is not still asleep, because at 7:28 we had this. Morning, boys. Nah, Jimmy, 40-0 wasn't convincing win for Manly, as Cameron Smith wasn't referee that day. I mean, playing that day. Should have been 50. Cheers, Manly Man Al.
Just before we go to Zorb, eagle-eyed Phil asked, where was Happy Clapper yesterday? He's been kept fresh for the George Main in 2 weeks. And this one's from Scooter. Dave Warner is our most underperforming batsman in this test series. Surely he has had enough chances. Reputation in previous matches. Doesn't score you runs now. They seem scared to drop him. Broad's got his number, hasn't he, Jim?
Totally. Played absolutely back. Most
second
dominant
ball
thing you've seen for a long time.
Yeah, he's struggling.
It's going to be a fascinating setup today. We've got the final position in the top eight to be decided at Leichhardt Oval, a packed Leichhardt Oval, and you couldn't script it any better. Two retiring gladiators. We don't think one is going to be there, Robbie Farah, based on what we're seeing this morning. But let's find out the thoughts of Peter Peters. He's on the line, as he is every Sunday. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning, Pete.
Oh, it's quarter to four. I felt on my own when Pat Cummings just got rid of Root first ball.
Oh, what a ball.
Boys, where are you?
Had to get some sleep.
Sound asleep,
some
Zorb.
I couldn't go. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I could not stop watching the sword fight after every delivery. It's like a kick.
Steve
like
Smith.
Unbelievable. It's the old sword fight. Remember those of them? Failing or something?
Hey Zorb, what are 671 runs at an average of 134 in five innings. His lowest score so far is that 82 last night when he was chasing quick runs, Steve Smith.
He was crazy. On his back. He was laughing. The expression when he got out court was unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a play.
Hey, Zorb, let's get to today. Before we get to the important game, Hudson Young. 5 weeks.
Okay.
Where are you putting this suspension?
Okay. Well, look, the multitude of ex-players who comment on the game have got no idea of the laws of libel, and they should. Particularly Fox Sports' Brett Finch. Finchie's had a busy and somewhat over the top sometimes the last few days. Now, Hudson Young's act on New Zealand warrior Adam Pompey didn't look good. But what happens if the NRL judiciary don't charge him? Then Finch and Fox are in real trouble. If Hudson Young feels in a litigious mood, I'm sure Fox head of sports Steve Crawley will be hoping that Hudson Young is charged and found guilty. He's lots of ex-players on his books as commentators, and it seems only a matter of time before one goes over the top and ends in a legal stoush. You've got to be careful about what you say about people. Now, journalists grow up on the laws of defamation. Ex-players have got absolutely no idea. They think they can say the first thing that comes into their mind. Well, they can't. And they've got to be careful. Steve Crawley is an old journo. He knows, and I reckon he'll be talking to his big group. Now, I don't know of anyone that's ever been eye-gouged that hasn't complained to the referee or shown some discomfort of having his eyes raked. Now, there was no sign of that. I'm not saying whether he's guilty or he's not guilty, but it's a scary proposition, and it's probably a wake-up call for a lot of the guys in the media that haven't had any training in anything litigious.
Hey, Zorb, just quickly, do you think Hudson Young will be charged?
I don't know if there's enough evidence.
Oh, gee, I think the evidence is overwhelming.
You know why? Because of what's been said and what's been written about it. But at the time that the try was scored, there was no inkling of any problem.
Okay, and the other thing is this, just to let you know, we certainly do it in radio, we do it on TV as well. We are given codes of conduct training around what can and can't be said from legal departments from respective organisations. So
yes, but there's no long-term training on it as there is in the media from day one when you start your cadetship.
Yeah, it's interesting, Zorb. Hey, Zorb...
Okay, still on the media, I want to say this about Channel 9. Today they'll show a nothing Newcastle versus Penrith match from 4 o'clock.
Yes.
While Fox Sports will exclusively cover an absolute blockbuster from a full Leichhardt Oval of the Tigers versus the Sharks.
Yes.
Now, last week's controversial suggestion by Channel 9's head of sport, Tom Malone, that a Sydney-based club maybe should go in favour of another Brisbane team, hasn't been forgotten and hasn't gone down too well at the NRL and amongst the Sydney clubs. So there's no one really feeling sorry for Channel 9 today in the fact that they've got a dud game while Fox have got an absolute beauty. Mm. As for Malone, well, he's lucky that Kerry Packer's no longer around and in charge of Channel 9.
Mm. Is there a sense of irony in the fact that there are two Sydney sides that are playing in the last game and it is exclusively live on the television network that he doesn't run?
Yeah, a bit of karma, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, tried to get it broadcast on Channel 9?
Funny about
that. Yes. That didn't last long. They threw it out quick.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Scheduling issues. Hey, Zorb, four of the top eight sides have lost going into the first week of the finals. What's your take on that, mate?
Yeah, well, the Roosters, Manly, the Raiders and the Broncos have all had last round losses going into the final. The Roosters, well, they rested several stars, including Luke Keary, who's going to be a real major threat in their bid to go back-to-back, despite them likely to be without the enforcer, Jared Warrior Hargraves, for Friday's return clash with South. We'll have Sam Burgess suspended. Of the other sides, Manly look almost out with five players down in the last week, including Tommy Turbo and Marty Kapau facing suspension. A shaky Manly await the winner of today's Sharks versus West Tigers game. Mm. The Broncos lost to the Bulldogs showed they're a different side away from home. And Canberra, I still think they're capable of lifting. John Bateman's got a return against the Storm. They'll go down there with no fear after being down 18-0 and then winning. While some teams are out of form, what about the refs? Collectively, they've been ordinary, seemingly afraid to send players off. The bunker has become their safe haven. They go there at every opportunity. There's no absolute excitement when a try is scored because fans know that it can be taken from them as soon as they go to the bunker. Number one, Bernard Sutton, is well out of form. His display in the Manly versus Parramatta game on Friday was awful. Mm. I thought that he had no control of the game. He panicked. one penalty when Manly was down 22-16. Marty Kapau is a couple of metres from the line playing the ball. Parra have got a player in the sin bin. Player all around the legs of Kapau. Tries to get up and play the ball. Penalty to Parramatta. It was a shocker. And they went down the other end of the field and scored.
Yes. Yes, I remember that very clearly. Daniel Alvaro was the player, and it was a really bad call. It was
probably
really
for today, though. Old Whitecard,
what a game.
I don't think they're going to risk Robbie Farah.
No, not by the looks.
I don't think Michael Maguire can do it to the rest of his side. Look, Robbie's been brave. It's been well publicised. It's built the game up. The risk is just too great. And quite frankly, I think that I think Josh Reynolds will do the job that they need to do. I like the Tigers today.
Yeah.
I think their left side attack, particularly now that Luke Garner's back in the side, he was suspended a couple of weeks ago, but since he's been back, he's one of the most improved back rowers in the competition. There's clashes galore in this one. Bronson Cherry's the X factor for the Cronulla Sharks. Sean Townsend up against old Benji Marshall. That'll be a classic confrontation. Wade Graham showing his form. The winner can go deep in the finals because they'll play a really depleted Manly, even though it's at Lotto Land next Saturday evening.
Oh, hang on. Whoa, hang on. Even at this early point, 8 days out, you're taking the underdog status for a game that will be at Manly's home ground. I just want to confirm that.
Hang on.
How many text messages did you get from Des this morning to start talking up whoever the opposition happens to be?
Well,
mental
Tommy
games.
Turbo's out. Joel Thompson's out. Curtis Sirenin's out. Taniela Paseka's out.
Marty,
Morgan Boyle's out.
Marty Tapau
will be out. And Manly will be out.
Do you want to forfeit?
We won't forfeit, mate, and we'll fight to the end.
Oh, you're the best.
You're still there, Zorb.
Can I ask this, Zorb? The comments of Cameron Smith leading in to the game. I think it was Thursday that he made the comments about family being dragged into around the gifting of the ring to his wife, Barb, describing it as quote-unquote low journalism. What was your take on that?
Oh, I don't think it was... I think it had to be reported once it was found out. Yeah, I think that's part of who Cameron Smith is. He's the goat, and you know the goats get reported on everything they do.
And the thing about it is, it wasn't the journalists that brought it. It was the journalists that brought it to everyone's attention. It was the NRL.
It was a cover up. That's why.
Exactly. Mm. The NRL were the ones who involved Barb Smith. Now, no one's saying that she did not contribute in incredible ways to Cameron's career. Exactly. Mm. What
Tell
are you
world.
Trying to hide?
Mm. Look, some people will applaud the decision. Others will be against it. But really, in the end, who cares?
Mm. Yeah.
If I'm a Brisbane supporter, I'm worried that they're not picking the best players in their positions. I thought that, and congratulations to Dean Pay and the Bulldogs on a gutsy performance in that win over the Broncos 30-14.
Yeah.
And they played some good football. But one of Brisbane Broncos' best players in recent weeks has been the specialist halfback Sean O'Sullivan. I thought O'Sullivan really did well in his position of halfback. He was quickly replaced by one of the coach's favourites in the specialist hooker Jake Turpin for last night's loss against the Bulldogs.
Yes.
O'Sullivan didn't even make a bench spot.
No.
The Turp and Darius Boyd combo didn't work. And I think Seabolt's got to stop playing favourites if the Broncos are to have any chance of beating Parra next Sunday's sudden deafer.
Well, as one very knowledgeable rugby league man said to me yesterday, it's not many squads that are picked that have three hookers in them.
Mm.
Seguiaro, McCulloch and Turpin.
And Seguiaro, seriously, he's got to be in that side for more minutes.
Yeah.
He sparks them when he comes on. I gee, they've had some problems this year, and they look like going out in the first week of the finals.
By the way, Barnaby's got in contact with the program, Zorb. What's Zorb bagging Finch for? I thought he ran well yesterday in the Chelmsford.
He did, actually. Hey, Zorb, your zapper today?
My zapper today, and I'm very confident. I'm going Tigers at the line.
When aren't you?
It has to be. A punter's got to be confident. Tigers at the line, yep.
Yeah, all up, Panthers at the line.
Okay, Tigers. Well, we've got the Zapper up on the sports specials at tab.com.au. You can find it on the website or indeed on your app. You've got the Tigers win into Penrith minus 2.5. And
yep.
That, and we're giving out $4.25. So you're getting overs in that one for Zorba Zapper. Okay, Zorba
Zapper. Well, we got up at 6-1 last week, so I hope some of our listeners got on.
Absolutely, we did. So well done on that. We should celebrate your victories more. 6-1. That's a fantastic price. Mm. So West Tigers win into Penrith minus 2.5. You know what, Zorb? I like it as well, for what it's worth.
I think it's going to be a special game there today.
Absolutely.
It is going to be an absolute beauty. And I hope Ben Cummings has a good game and lets it flow. And we're going to see, I reckon, they tell me some of the people in the houses at the back of
yes.
the ground
yes.
have leased out some spots today.
Oh. Oh, what, to their mates?
Why not?
No, they've actually sold some spots.
That's clever.
How would you do that?
Across people come
you
in.
Just pay, right, $20 a head, I can take 10 with hot dogs. $10 extra.
Some parking in the front lawn.
Oh, there's an entrepreneur in all of us, isn't there?
How good.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Good on you. Good luck with finding a team next week for Manly. I hope they can pull together 17 that will be have a run around in the semi-finals.
We'll find one.
Oh, you're the
good
best.
On you, Pete.
Good on you. Thanks, Des. Des would have been listening as well, just to make sure Zorb followed through with his instructions that he texted through this morning. $4.25. The West Tigers win into Penrith minus 2.5. We'll take your thoughts on Zorba's thoughts. 13:53:53. But time now for a break.
Sky Racing Active. It's got all your racing needs.
Can you create racing playlists?
Yes, with race alerts and tips.
Can you stream races you've missed?
Definitely.
And your favourite racing shows?
Yup.
Can you watch races that are yet to run?
That you can't do. For everything else, download Sky Racing Active on your Apple iOS or Android device and get access to a 60-day free trial period.
Sky Racing Active. It's racing the way you want it.
Trial offer ends October 7th, 2019. 18 plus. Eligible customers only. Excludes Vic and SA Thoroughbreds.
Our customers love having a local shop, but I need more funds to help keep my shelves stocked.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent over $10 billion US to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse? Running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back. And you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the Tab app or at your local. The Kosciuszko. Tickets on sale now.
Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit thekosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Welcome aboard the Qantas Points plane, a flight exclusively for our frequent flyers. On the left, you'll find seats booked with points.
Until a few seconds ago, this brand was the last thing on your mind. And now, thousands of people like you are thinking about it and checking it out online. If your brand is the last thing on people's minds, advertise on radio. Because if you need results now, radio's never been more alive. Visit radioalive.com.au.
And carrier charges apply.
Looks for a cut. Runs out of real estate. Great defense by the Dominicans. 3 seconds on the shot clock. Mills going to let it fly. Knocks it down. Patty Mills with the hand right in his face.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Our talk topic today is biggest floggings in sports.
Yes.
We've had a few good ones, but I did want to make mention of this SMS from Stu. Morning, boys. I've just tuned in. Have you talked about the Ashes yet this morning? If you haven't, don't. Remember what happened last test.
Stu, that was Ray's fault.
No, it wasn't. I'm with Stu. I just want those last 8 wickets to fall. Until then, I'll be on tenterhooks, James.
And just before we get to our next guest, good morning, peeps. Job's just about done, waiting for the local to open to have another lash at the Kosciuszko tickets because I'm one of those people. Long may we play. Good on you, Michelle from Dubbo.
Yeah, because they close tonight, midnight.
Midnight
so now's
tonight.
Your chance to get in. And potentially on Tuesday, there'll be the big draw.
Yes.
And you potentially could land a runner for $1.3 million. How good
How
is that?
How good is
Life
that?
Life-changing. Yesterday, Jimmy, we saw Libertini. She's been called racing next big thing. She got the job done, albeit it wasn't the dominant margin we expected, but she still won well. And her breeder, part owner, Jerry Harvey's been good enough to join us this morning. Jerry, good morning. Well, in the cold light of day, Sunday morning, what did you make of Libertini yesterday?
Ah, Raymond, you know what? Sometimes it's not a good horse. I hoped it would win by 20 lengths, but it won at 1-1, and I'm still excited. So long. Excuse me. I was yelling so much. But I think they've told me. He didn't realise that they can't have the last six in 32 seconds. If he'd taken another 10 yards, it would have got beaten. You can't run 29, can you?
That's a good point.
There you go. Now, I think you described it yesterday as 100-1. Jerry, have you changed your odds on Libertini running in the Everest yet?
Yes, 1,000-1,000-1,000. Well, it's $3. I want to make it easy. I want to race 4, 5, 6, 7.
You want to keep it going, of course. Yeah, because that's the
thing. I want to keep it going. I'm 80 now. I just wanted something to enjoy till I'm 90. You know, I'll get in 50 years, I'll get medals. And then I'll be the artist, you know? Why, I don't know. He's a bludger.
He's Singo.
Is that Singo Blake? Yeah.
He's a good man.
Yeah, he is a bludger, that Singo Blake, isn't he?
Yeah, but he gave me half a girl Sunday that might win more. He's a bit of a dope. He's a mate.
He's a good man, Singo. He's a good man.
Oh, there you go.
I don't think so. He's trying to race Katie off. He's trying to get Katie. He wants to marry Katie and have my money and get his money and finish his front.
Hang on, I'm going to ask a question. Is this John Singleton we're talking to?
No.
Is it
He's a wonderful, wonderful man. I wish he was here.
Any chance I can get something on 5 years interest-free at all, Jerry?
Yes. Any yearling we have. Pay no more to pay.
Very good. Well, look, if you do get the thoughts of John Singleton, could you relay them to him? What did John think of the run of Libertini yesterday?
Terrible. He likes it to win by 10 lengths. I should at least have won. But he had a fortune on it. Yeah, $1.30. Thought he was smart. I was hoping he would lose from home because his silly face would have been all sad. And he tried to get me thrown out of them because I had joggers on.
He almost got thrown out, Jerry.
Yes.
Had the joggers on.
That single complained to the security.
He's a lunatic.
Great thing.
Well, Jerry, did John happen to know that the Newtown Jets had a good win yesterday?
44-20 over Mounties, yes. They're playing next Sunday, north or south.
That's exactly right.
Oh, yes. If he tells me always. He didn't leave my hand till 3 a.m.
If
he was looking at replays of silly horse races. Then we got Best Western out, and I got excited. Then he wanted me to bet on horses. He said, the bookies won't remember. I'm mad.
Well, I tell you what, Jerry Harvey does a very good impersonation of John Singleton. Well, John Singleton does a very good impersonation of Jerry Harvey, one of the two. Can we get closer to an Everest slot? Is it definitely 1,001? Is it off the table?
Well, I wanted... Well, I was offered $20 million for the horse yesterday. And first prize in the first Everest it runs in. And Casino took it, and I didn't. But I'm the managing partner. And I had Neil and I had James Cummings and all those Godolphins, all the money. No. I want it, no.
20 mil.
No.
You take that 20 mil.
Not if you're the managing partner, you don't.
No, you
got his
mil,
bank balance, I suppose.
You get 10 mil on the Everest. It was a 10.
That's right.
You win again, 3 years, 30 million, plus you've got a broodmare. Like weeks worth of antimony.
It's
how can we do that? What's that worth? One of 90s. No good.
I feel like asking Jerry, is Jerry there somewhere?
Jerry's not well. He's a sick, an old person. He's 80 years old. Colonel Sanders, the fridge is...
We've got a spring in his step with Libertini. Hey, Jerry and John, great to talk to you this morning.
No, John's not here. I was abused as a child. I channeled through all these personalities.
Oh, hey, Jerry, it's been great to have someone on the program. I don't know. I tell you what, when it first came on there, I thought, Jerry doesn't sound himself today.
No.
And I think that might have been clear.
Are we any closer to
that? For those people who don't know, that was John Singleton playing the role of Jerry Harvey, okay? Well, just to clear that up.
Pretty sure.
So both part owners of Libertini.
Say they've been celebrating last night.
As pointed out by Jerry... who was played by John there, Jerry is the managing partner of Libertine.
Getting a few interesting texts from our friends listening to about that interview. Yeah. Are we any closer to knowing? Is it off the table, the Everest?
I think we could disregard all information put through from Jerry Harvey, a.k.a. John Singleton, on that call. Just I don't think that the future of Libertini is any clearer after that call, right? Could we put it that way? All right, there you go. 1353 is the open line number, and we move swiftly past our previous guest. Billy's on the line. G'day, Billy.
G'day, boys. That's hard act to follow, right?
Just checking. Are you Billy?
Are you Billy?
Hey, where do you get it?
That's good, Bill. This might be Jerry Harvey now.
This is Jerry here.
Oh, dear. Very good. What do you got for us, Bill?
The most flogging, mate. I played with Pembroke Union, the Emus. 100 years ago, we played Ramrick at Coogee, at Dave Campese, who was playing. We got beat 110-2.
The old
first
Emus.
First grade.
Yeah.
Campese, I just stayed on the halfway and just kept kicking the ball off.
Can I just ask?
Come back. But I reckon, you said about the biggest comeback, or biggest winner. Would it be Lionel Rose, youngest world champion, Aboriginal Aussie?
68 against Fighting Harada.
Fighting Harada.
Yeah.
You know, he was the youngest ever world champion to become the first world champion of Australia. Like, you know,
he was 19, wasn't he, by memory, Bill? He was 19, wasn't he, when he won the title? I think.
18,
okay, yeah.
I was watching his show the other day, Rose, Lionel Rose.
Yes.
You see how blokes, when they, you know, I'm Aboriginal myself back then, but you see how blokes, when they become famous and then they, you see that show and you think, poor bugger.
Mm.
Yeah. And how a legend, how he dies and not forgotten, never been remembered. You know what I mean?
They just
slowly slip away.
I understand what you're saying, Billy. Yeah. It's not a ethnicity thing. It happens across all races and religions and across everything. But appreciate your call on that one, Billy. 1353 53, the open line number. Keep them coming. Jimmy's on the line. G'day, Jimmy.
Jimmy, how you going?
Very well, bud. What do you got for us?
A quick one about a flogging raid like this one. Secretary, when he won the Belmont Stakes.
Playing to your audience there.
31 lengths, Jim.
Yeah,
it's a flogging. Oh. Mate, straight out. There's no other way to describe that one.
One of the all-time great efforts, that. So.
Yeah. Guys, I'm just ringing about what Zorba said with the referees. Mm. I watched the Super League, Jimmy, and they use the video ref. They use it sparingly.
Yes.
They're quite happy to blow when it's a try. Remember, they've only got one referee as well. They're quite happy to play for a try and things like that. And it does take a lot out of the game. You're sitting there watching, you think, hang on a minute, is this going to be a try or not? Because in the Super League, the ref says, I want you to check for an offside, and that's what they check for. They don't check for the grounding or anything else. We'll go back, I want you to check offside or check the grounding. And that's all they have to check. They don't check anything else.
Yeah.
But with us, we seem to keep going back and back and
finding things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just getting worse and worse, guys. I mean, I say to Tanya, these guys are on 330,000 a year. There's two of them out there, and they've got the backup of the bunker, and they're making an absolute shambles on it. And it's gotten worse. I was a fan of the two rests. I'm not a fan of it anymore.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, that incident last night with Saylor in the Dragons-Titans game, that, I think, highlighted all the things that are wrong with the bunker.
Correct.
It took forever to come to a decision. And are you categorically convinced they can touch the ball?
Yeah.
Are you?
No.
Exactly. So, and then they stopped a great try, and everyone was celebrating a great try, and Jimmy's right. Talk about floggings. I just remember, too, I was at Penrith Park the day that they lost 70 points to 7 in three-point tries against Manly. Their very first...
Was that Graham Eadie?
Yes, Fulton was playing Eadie. Brannigan, they had it was 73 all-star side. Very first Channel 7 Sunday night game at Penrith. And it was 70 points
another
to 7.
Another 5 or 6 years before Channel 7 went out there again.
Rex didn't come out for a long time after that.
Hello, Anthony.
Good morning, how are you?
Anthony, really good morning. Mate.
What do you got?
I want to talk about Ben Stokes, but there's a couple of floggings. There was a Melbourne victory, grand final victory. It was a 7-0 or something. One striker scored 5 goals. It was 3 or 4 years ago in Melbourne. Who did they play? Melbourne victory.
Grand final, Archie Thompson scored five, I think.
And the mighty Dulcifer's Cox Plate victory before his tragic end
to Hypono's
Melbourne Cup a couple of weeks later.
Yeah,
no, absolutely flogged him.
He beat a good horse called Chivalry.
It was going to be anything, wasn't it? Right?
Yeah, he beat Chivalry by 7 lengths, and Chivalry was an outstanding horse.
Yeah. And then a couple of weeks later, Hypono's Melbourne Cup, and that tragic end to the great career.
Right. Broke his pelvis, yeah.
Good on you, Anthony. Thank you. We do appreciate that. Tom's on the line. G'day, Tommy.
G'day, Ray, and
Jeff. Yeah, good morning, Tom.
I can vividly remember having a bet last year on an AFL game, and it was Melbourne and Carlton. Melbourne won 159-50. My mate's wanted me to go and see a psychic to see how and if my luck was going to change in the future. So I went to the psychic, I knocked on the door, she says, "Who is it?" Then I walked away.
I think we had dad jokes last week, Tom. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you're a week late with that one, and I'm not sure you would have won a prize last week anyway. So thank you very much for that, Tom. 1353 53 is the open line number. Look, we've got to take a break here. After that, we're going to do the Event Cinemas quiz. Score update?
19-16, I'm in front.
19-16, you are in front. So call now if you'd like to play for your chance of a double pass, courtesy of Event Cinemas.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wide line windows and doors, state-of-the-art livable showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wide line Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days. The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at australianturfclub.com.au.
Welcome aboard the Qantas Points plane, a flight exclusively for our frequent flyers. On the left, you'll find seats booked with points.
Until a few seconds ago, this brand was the last thing on your mind. And now, thousands of people like you are thinking about it and checking it out online. If your brand is the last thing on people's minds, advertise on radio. Because if you need results now, radio's never been more alive. Visit radioalive.com.au.
And carrier charges apply.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people that would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of horse could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. TAB, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Patience and perseverance on this Sunday, and Hannah Green wins again on the LPGA Tour.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Right now we've got the Event Cinemas Quiz 1916.
You're pretty low key about that, James, aren't you?
Well, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, future floggings when you beat me convincingly in the quiz, which has not been appreciated here, it must be said.
Panel operator Hamish. One team here. He just chimed in with not...
If the listeners feel that they can see the future of the quiz scoreline, I'm not surprised. Because in many ways, it's already been fixed.
You're paranoid, and so is panel operator Hamish, obviously. This is pure luck, James.
You know the reason I'm paranoid is because you plot against me.
Hang on a second. Now, didn't the one team ethos that you've been trying to shove down our throats for years, didn't it get blown out of the water the other day when you and producer Steve, who's the boss, by the way, actually changed the intro?
Yeah, but you garbaged on for a long time with all this rubbish we had to cut out. The highly anticipated sequel, It Chapter 2, is now showing at Event Cinemas.
Too good.
Based on the 1986 horror novel by Stephen King, watch as it all ends in this final chapter. Immerse in a designer experience. This is with Event Boutique, Raymond.
Yeah.
Strut, a la Ray Thomas. Strut into modern luxury. How will Ray Thomas enter Panthers Stadium this afternoon? He will strut into modern luxury with gold class or march into Max with VMAX. Head on over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now. Yes, Raymond?
I want to borrow one of your famous lines now. One team, I just wish I was on it.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Here seriously.
Is it your turn to call?
Here we go.
The coin goes up.
Mr. Steve.
You didn't call.
It was your turn. I called last week.
Oh, here we go.
This is a fantastic way to call.
Okay, I'll call. Head him up. Tails. There you go.
Okay, I'll go too.
And it's rigged.
It's not rigged.
And people say to me, oh, I don't know why you think it's rigged. Anyway.
Seriously.
I guess I'm player one.
Paranoid person I know.
I guess I'm player one.
You are,
oh,
James.
What a surprise. Dave's on the line from Nowra. G'day, Dave.
Hey, guys. Sorry, Jimmy, but you got me.
Hey, I'll
be right,
Dave.
Hey,
we'll be right, Davey. We'll be right. Question one. What is the name of the centre court at the US Open?
Arthur Ashe.
Yep. Arthur Ashe Stadium. Nice, Dave. Mm. Question two. Which team finished the 2019 season at the bottom of the AFL ladder? Was it A, Carlton, B, Gold Coast, or C, Melbourne?
Gold Coast.
Well done, Dave.
Oh, yeah,
the good guys
bands,
avoided
yeah.
the wooden spoon.
They did a lap of honour. They won the toss.
Yeah, up the Blues.
You're not a Blues fan, are you, Dave?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Hey, Dave, we're on the way back, mate. We're
Hashtag
on the way back.
Rebuilding.
The only way is up.
Exactly.
Question three. Where is the IAAF, that's the International Association of Athletics Federations, based? Is it A, Monaco, B, Moscow, or C, Manchester?
I'm going to say Manchester because surely it couldn't be in Moscow.
You're right. It's not in Moscow. Should have gone A, right. Davey.
Monaco. You'd go Monaco every time over those three cities, wouldn't you?
If you're an international federation and you base yourself at Manchester, you should be immediately tipped out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so two. We need. Is Ray on the line? Ray, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
Yeah, terrific, mate. Hey, we need two to tie, three to win. How are you feeling, Ray?
Always feeling confident after that phone call last night, Ray.
What was that, mate?
Always feeling confident after that phone call last night.
Which was?
Oh, all the questions.
Oh, here we go.
Ray. How good's he? Check all phone records.
This guy deserves a prize already.
That is very good.
Here we go, Ray. Question number one. Which team is on top of the table in the English Super League?
We'll go St Helens.
Oh, good start, Ray. Well
good
done.
Good smother, too. Good they, smother.
His
By the way,
call
Ray,
phone call
when
last
he called
night.
Last night, Ray, take your time to answer the first question.
He's the most paranoid man I've ever met, Ray. Serious. It's unbelievable. Question number two. Which New York borough, is that right, borough?
Yes.
Yeah, hosts the US Open at Flushing Meadows. It's a multiple choice, Ray. A, is it Brooklyn? B, the Bronx? C, Queens?
I'll go the Bronx.
In Queens, yeah. Okay, we need this one, Ray. Question number three. Where is the IOC, that's the International Olympic Committee, based? A, is it in Switzerland? B, Spain? C, San Marino?
I'll go Switzerland.
Spot on, Ray. Well, terrific. That's two. We're going to have a tiebreaker question. Here we go. How many wickets did Sir Ian Botham take in test matches for England? And, Ray, the answer is between 300 and 400 test wickets.
376.
Okay. Stay on the line there, Ray. Over to you, James.
All right. Let's go back to Davey. Davey, here's your tiebreaker question. It's locked at two all. How many wickets did Sir Ian Botham take in test matches for England? It's between 300 and 400.
353.
Hey, Ray.
Thanks for taking my call last night, mate. We're over the line. Well done, Ray. Hey, Ray, where do you live, mate?
In Wollongong.
Wollongong. Vent right. Cinema's near you down there?
Yeah, there's a couple down here. Wollongong, Shell Harbour.
Terrific, mate.
Ray, if you could just stay on the line. belated applause. If you could just stay on the line, Ray.
You're not happy, are you, Jim? Be careful, Ray.
We're going to get your address. The federal police will come along. And they'll take your phone. They'll also take the phone of Ray Thomas, Steve Molchanov, Tanya Thomas, and Hamish Neal. And once we've got all that cleared, then we'll be able to send
Jimmy,
out your event.
Can I interrupt, Jimmy? I've actually got your number in my phone.
Is that right? Okay, well, maybe we can hold off on that.
Exactly. Suddenly it's a whole new ball game now, isn't it, Jim? Hey, Ray, keep your phone, everything's sweet.
You know what I love? You know what I love, though? And thank you, Ray. Stay on the line. Look, take your time over answering question one. Make it seem like you don't know that it's St. Helens. Get question two wrong.
Can I ask a personal question?
Depending on what...
Can I ask a personal question? When you were a young kid, when you were growing up, were you as paranoid as you are now?
No.
So what's changed?
What's changed? 10 years working on this program with you, Ray Thomas.
We haven't had a crossword, have we?
Yeah, and now I know why. You've just been taking from me the whole time. It's a rort. Remember?
Seriously.
If you're sitting in the room, so when we have a production meeting, all five of us are there, panel operator Haynes, producer
happen?
Steve, producer Tanya, you and I, when we're all sitting there and you're looking for the mark in the room, you're looking for the mark, the bloke who's getting taken down and you can't find them, it's you, Ray. In this occasion, it's me.
You are paranoid, mate, seriously. It's called luck. Pure luck. It's
time now to... Pure luck. Time now to milk to Jared Daffy from TAB. Wants to have a chat about markets. I'd love to have a market up for who's going to win the quiz in 2019. Jared, good morning.
Morning, boys. It'll be whoever's representing Ray. I hope.
Jared, have you ever heard a more paranoid man than James?
I was sitting here listening to it, and I thought, you know what? There's not very many people left in this world that Jimmy either doesn't like or tries to upset. He's now taken to upsetting the loyal listeners who make the effort to ring in for the quiz, and you're giving it to them.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah, it is.
You want people to listen to the show and actually call in and be part of it, James. You don't want
You'd
to turn them
so.
Off.
You'd hope so.
He's too
I think
good.
Some of them like that, to be honest, Jared.
He's too good,
to be honest.
Have you ever rapped anybody, Jimmy, or liked anybody in your life?
I'll give myself a few raps at the start of the show.
Apart from that.
Does that count? My young bloke rang up during the week, Jared. I gave him a prize for best caller.
Your young bloke?
Yeah.
Oh, nepotism's alive and well.
He rang up, did he?
Yeah, he rang
Austin.
Up.
Austin? Yeah.
Gave his thoughts on the Roosters Rabbitohs game.
Outstanding.
Just happened to be wrong. But anyway, still got a prize. Now, incredible result over there at the US Open.
I know. She was a $21 pop.
Whoa.
A couple of days before it got underway, Andreescu we're talking about here, but she was a much, much bigger quote when that market went up a few months ago. I think she was triple figures, and probably so she should have been, given her form, but some sort of performance.
Mm.
So she's got the trophy and probably won't be the last, given she's only 19 years of age. That leaves us with the men's final same time tomorrow morning. And Rafa's pretty short. He's $1.16. Medvedev at $5.50. Having said that, though, there's a bit of support for Medvedev, given Nadal had that issue with his arm again this week. Of course, he has had a history of of problems with injury, but he's still going around, isn't he? But he's $1.16, and in the sets betting, he's $2.10 to win in straight sets.
And Jared, I know the Aussies are very short at Old Trafford, but we sort of get those 8 wickets, mate.
Surely we will.
Oh,
of course we will.
I won't rest easy till we do. What are the odds of the Australians? What are the odds of an England win?
$34.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to break all sorts of records. You'd hope that that doesn't happen. The draw at 4.50. It looks like the weather's all clear, boys. So
yes.
That shouldn't be a factor. And Australia $1.22. And obviously, this will make us retain the Ashes, but more importantly, lead the series as well. So,
got to get Ben Stokes out, Jared. He's the got to get Superman out.
Yeah, but you know, the talk was always going to be that the final day it would crack up. I know Nathan Lyon didn't get any wickets in the first innings, but let's hope he's right amongst it in the second innings. And I think we're on the quick backup. Do they go around again on Wednesday or Thursday night?
Yep, at the Oval.
So that market will be open as soon as that fourth test is completed in the early hours of the morning, or hopefully before.
Tigers Cronulla today. All roads lead to Leichhardt.
Aren't the conspiracy theorists out and about this morning? Surely it won't be a draw with Tigers.
What is the draw? What's the draw?
17.
That's at 80 minutes.
At the end of 80 minutes, yeah.
Can you back draw at the end of 90 minutes?
Golden point, yeah.
No.
No, right. No.
210 West Tigers, $1.77 Cronulla. They've named a pretty good side, Cronulla, so that was a catalyst behind a bit of support for them. But the Tigers have got their fair share as well. And in the other game, well, it's a dead rubber, but money with the favourites here. Penrith,
yes.
$1.72.20 Newcastle. We've got two of the matches open for next week. Melbourne, $1.42. Canberra, $2.85. An opening line there of 6.5. And identical betting in the Roosters South games. South game, oddly enough, $1.42. Roosters, $2.85. South, a line there of 6.5. And very little change in the premiership market. We've got the Roosters at $2.50. Melbourne, $3.25. Canberra, $7.50 on the back of that loss yesterday. South, $8. And then 21 or better for the rest, headed up by Parramatta.
Mm. AFL, look, the Lions did get a touch up yesterday by the Tigers, who have
stinked. Did you watch it?
I've seen some of it, yeah.
If you had watched it, I mean, I'd like to think I'm not biased, but, gee, they didn't get a very good rub of the green off the umpires early, and inaccurate kicking.
Oh, about to say, that the couple of shots at goal that they should have converted, it should have been, they should have been in front of half-time.
Given them final margin, they probably should have nearly had Richmond dead and buried at quarter time.
Yep.
But you can't do that, and Dusty Martin dominated, so...
Get a second chance,
Well, they do, yeah. And they're at home next week. Mm. Actually, on Friday night, Geelong at 2.10, West Coast 1.75, all of the money with the West Coast there. They did open the $2 outsiders. And in the second game, well, the boys put up at the completion of that game last night, Brisbane $1.45, Giants at 2.75, and there was an immediate reaction and a big, big price move. Giants into 225 now and Brisbane 165. And I guess that's probably more reflective of what we saw yesterday. They were pretty good, the Giants.
Mm. Yeah.
And a major reshuffle to the premiership market with the results of the weekend. Richmond into clear favourites now, 235. Collingwood at 350. They do get the week off, but they've got some big injury concerns there. West Coast at 8. Geelong out to 9. Brisbane out to 11. And the Giants, who were 29 prior to yesterday, are into 13. But Richmond, you think it's theirs to lose now.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, you are clearly biased, Jared. Just to confirm on that one that you asked about earlier.
I've actually escaped a fair bit of your venom up until today, but you're making up for it, James. Nice work.
Go the Swifts.
Welcome to my world, Jared.
Go the Swifts. Girls,
Get paid enough to put up with this rubbish. Swifts, yeah, well, it's a big one today. Again, whoever wins this will be up against it next week, but you can't win it if you're not in it, and the Swifts are favourites there at home. Only slight, though. They're $1.70, and the Vixens at $2.10. So plenty of bet types open on that one, and, of course, live betting. It's on... what's it on? Channel 9?
Yes, Channel 9, yes.
At 1 o'clock?
Mm. Yeah, Channel 9.
Jared, you got a mark on the Basketball World Cup? Australia's through to the last eight now for the first time in 37 years, the Boomers. Yeah,
they are. That market's actually changed around a lot, Ray, because the Dream Team, who maybe aren't the Dream Team, they were $1.35 at one stage. They're out to now... As I get this market up, $1.80, and Serbia have been the big movers. They're into $2.50 to win the World Cup. We've got tomorrow $17 for the Boomers, by the way. We've got tomorrow night's matches open. It's a pretty important one. France. Yeah. France favourites, 155. Australia 245, a line there of 3.5 points. That one gets underway at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. So
that is important, Jerks. My understanding is if Australia can beat France, we avoid playing potentially the Americans in the quarters. So
Yeah, we go to the other part of the draw. Yep. So
super important for the good guys.
Yeah, it is. And what else have we got? Oh, the Everest.
Yes,
yeah.
The Everest.
Red Zone.
What about Pierrata?
Pierrata.
Yeah, they're both $7 now. They're equal second favourites, along with Osborn Bulls and Sandra Annalone at $5. But, yeah, fascinating days racing yesterday. And I think this week we'll probably see money for Redzel and Pierrata on the back of those runs. Actually, there was one punter with Tab yesterday before the Concord had $10,000 on Redzel at $11 to win the Everest. Well, so very, very timely bet yesterday with another win there.
Any money for the 10 Sovereigns, who looks like he's coming now from Ireland, Jared?
No, there's not. I think it's shortened up price-wise, Ray. It was 51. It's into 15 now. I think people like to see them land here. There's always a question mark over the sprinters. If it was a stayer, it might be a little bit different, but not at the moment, no.
Okay. Look, you'll appreciate this one, Jared, before you go. Hey, Ray, Jimmy isn't paranoid. It's not paranoia if everyone really does hate you. That's Tim from Canberra.
So someone's giving it to you. Now, the boot's on the other foot now. How do you like that?
Mate, it's a constant here on a Sunday morning. Don't worry about that.
You know what? My aim is we're going to turn this round. Mm. By hook or by crook, I'm going to get people to really warm to you. It'll take a bit of work, but I think we can get it done.
They really do deep down.
What do your family think of you?
Well, I was just about to say, even my mum, she only comes down to visit. She gets on well with my wife and kids.
Lovely Tracy, beautiful wife and
that's
and
what
kids.
I mean.
You've got three lovely
kids. The same.
Just to put up with me.
Anyway. Good on you, Jared.
See you later.
See you, mate.
See you, Jared. See you, mate.
Have a good one. There you go. Yeah, so you'd enjoy that, Roman, I'm sure. By the way,